Welcome to the Running From Diabetes podcast. My name's Kevin, and this is an audio journal of my life dealing with diabetes as I train for endurance sports. This episode is pretty much just a new experiment I thought I'd try. As we know from the previous episode, I've been training to run my, what we call my crazy ass birthday ultramarathon, where I'm running my age 43 in miles. I'm running from my house to the San Diego border, which is Camp Pendleton. Got it all mapped out and measured. So this episode is just me checking in throughout the race. I try to discuss how I did things for this race and why I did things for this race, you know, what I carried, what I ate. A lot of it, you'll notice that my mental faculties start decreasing as I progress through the race. Any of you who have run any distance knows that you don't really stop thinking, but you don't think in a linear progression anymore. You typically start getting a little scatterbrained. And the longer you go, the worse it gets. I've never run anything like a 100-mile endurance race, but, you know, the stories that come out of those are incredible. You know, they get hallucinations where they're talking to turtles and trees are moving across the road and things like that. But they also suffer sleep deprivation and many others. Now, I don't get that far bad, so it won't get that creative during the recording, but that's basically what this episode is. I'll probably interject a few things as I'm listening to this if I think stuff was missed, but pretty much it's just a reoccurrence of that. One of the things I probably haven't mentioned is why I'm doing this. There's many, many reasons, and it sounds funny that there would be. The number one reason is I'm being a diabetic, and I've been a diabetic for many years. It tends to start tearing the body down. It tears the mind down, tears the body down. Complications start stepping in, and the complications are numerous. You know, I've had kidney problems, I've had eye problems, I've had nerve problems, I've had, you know, I have... I didn't have blood pressure until I became a diabetic, high blood pressure, you know, so I have the metabolic syndrome with the high blood pressure and high cholesterol. And although my diet is exemplary, the high blood pressure and high cholesterol stayed, so it's kind of like genetic high cholesterol where I have to take a specific type of medication to alter that. I'm overweight, and I've been unable to lose weight. A funny thing I noticed is that my Garmin, which is the GPS watch I wore during this race, also calculates calories as well as speed and distance and everything else, including the dishes, washing dishes. Said that I had burned a little over 11,000 calories. Now, there's a big margin of error there, but even if there was a 2,000 calorie margin of error. Minus, let's say, it's still a huge amount of calories. Most people can't consume 10,000 calories in a day. And I haven't. The only weight I lost was about 7 pounds of liquid, and it went up and down. I was able to actually keep myself pretty well hydrated, but at the end, the bottom line number was 7 pounds, and I gained it back as soon as I started hydrating again. So it was definitely a water loss. It wasn't a fat loss. And I've been running like this for years and don't lose any weight. I also eat exemplary. I am at present a stay-at-home dad. I do all the cooking. I have become a pseudo wannabe expert on nutrition. I've read books and books and books. I haven't attended any classes or schools, but I do have my own nutritionist and my own dietitian, being a diabetic. And I thought, and I talk to them all the time about this, as well as my endocrinologist, my cardiologist. I have a cholesterol team. I have my general practitioner, and I still haven't lost weight. So, the main thing was to beat the disease. I fully believe that diabetes, you know, if you ask people about diabetes being the number one cause of heart attack, stroke, amputation, blindness, and kidney failure, everybody will tell you, yes, that diabetes is. And I don't believe that. I believe that uncontrolled diabetes is the number one cause of those. Controlled diabetes is the cause of nothing. Controlled diabetes, although extremely difficult, if it is controlled, you can live a happy and healthy life like everybody. This was to beat the disease and to show myself that anything was possible with diabetes. And it was also to show others. I have friends and family members who are moderate diabetes. When I say moderate, meaning they're not on insulin pumps and full injection therapy, but they do, you know, my mother's on pills. My daughter, my 14-year-old daughter now is a pre-diabetic, which is a condition that's kind of like what we used to call borderline, but, you know, her blood sugars are high enough to be concerned. And it's a lack of activity in my part, you know, with them. You know, my kids are active, but they can always be more active. She had lived with her mother all the way up until just a couple months ago, and so she's the one that's training for the half marathon. She had started running at school, and things are getting better for her, but stuff like that will scare anybody. And so that was the purpose, is not only to prove to myself, but prove to my family and my direct relations out there that, you know, this is all possible. And hopefully in a roundabout way, if you're a diabetic or a pre-diabetic or suffer from it from any genetic standpoint in your family, or someone in your family suffering and you're helping care for it, that you can see that, you know, there's nothing special about me. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm a pretty bad case for this diabetes, and then I'm able to achieve something like this, you know, hopefully that help adds to something in your life. The other reasons, obviously, you know, I've gone to the dark side. I started running a marathon. Most people run a marathon and swear never again. Somehow, I started talking to people and everybody would go, oh, I ran a marathon. And I'm like, well, I don't want to be like everybody else. So I ran a second marathon. And after my second marathon, it wasn't so hard. It's hard, but it wasn't as hard as the first. And I enjoyed it. And so I did it again and did it again and did it again. And I found that, you know, I get a lot of people say, boy, I couldn't even run a mile. It's like, the funny thing is I can't either. I hate running a mile or 2 miles. It's horrible. It hurts. My body doesn't get coordinated into it. But after the third, you know, into the third mile and beyond, things start melding. The mojo starts working, is what I call it. And I just love to go. I've explored, you know, I'll go camping with the family up in the mountains, and I'll wrap my fanny pack on, you know, with water, etc., and I'll go explore on a run. And I've seen things that we never get to see, even in my own neighborhood. I didn't know, you know, I've caught myself running in the middle of the night. Middle of the night. And I didn't realize that just down the street in the park that we have coyotes and we have a very large, wild ecosystem out there. You know you have birds and you know you have bunnies out there because that's what you see, but, you know, it never occurred to me that we had the eagles and the buzzards and the coyotes and, you know, that extreme. I don't think we have any mountain lions. We're not close enough to the mountains there, but, you know, this is L.A. Mountain lions and bears tend to wander into urban environments because their habitat's being erased. So let's get to this. Like I said, I'm just not going to interrupt. I let my mouth bleed for too long here. At the end, one of the things I wanted to do was thank, and throughout this episode, I thank people, my wife and my pacer and my kids and, you know, my brother and my mother, blah, blah, blah. But one of the things is Twitter and Facebook. I didn't have a list of everybody's names. You know, this is not like my brother where I call his name every day. You know, it's funny because you look at their picture on Twitter, and that's a lot of times how I connect who it is, and I couldn't even remember what his real name or their real name is. And so I've written that down, and at the end I'm going to have a little lengthy thank you to everyone as people kind of my thank you list, and I will roll through that very important part of this episode, because that really was kind of the surprise and the cool part of this whole experiment, was that so many people out there that didn't know me, didn't have a clue why I was doing this, and didn't even ask why I was doing this. They were just supportive during the whole trip. I would sign in on my iPhone to Twitter, and I would literally have 6 or 7, you know, go get 'ems and attaboys, and it was little things like that when I was looking at the next hill that literally drove me up the hill. It kept me on my feet. I didn't run with anybody until the final stages. And coming into the aid station, my wife was my mobile aid station. Coming into those aid stations for my wife was fantastic, because I saw the kids and they would have signs out, or they would have, you know, they were all prepped. You know, one would grab the phone to charge it, one would grab my watch to charge it, one would pull the bladder out of my fanny pack and replace that. And it was like a NASCAR thing, you know, like I was getting gas and tires changed and windshield washed all at the same time. But, and that was, it was great because I had someone to talk to. But I mean, I was out there for a little over 12 hours and didn't talk to very many people. I ran into a few people, most of them when I was running along, and they would say, oh, I'm just on a little 3 mile out and back. How far are you along? You know, how far are you going today? Oh, I'm going 43 miles. I'm on mile 29, or I'm on mile 16 of 43. And they were just like, shocked. I had some ladies, I thought she was going to call the men in the white coats. She just literally, she wasn't a runner. She was an older lady with her husband walking their dog in a very exclusive neighborhood of Monarch Beach out by the Ritz-Carlton. And I had asked him, you know, like, I was during a walk episode, and I walked past him. I said, by the way, how far down is Dana Point? I really wasn't thinking straight. You know, you tell me today, I could tell you exactly how far, but at that point in time, I knew I was heading the right direction, but I didn't know exactly how far or how far I'd have to go to reach my wife at the next point. And so I asked him, and they said, well, why? And I'm like, well, I'm running from my house in Costa Mesa to the San Diego border. And she just, like, lost it. It was incredible. Oh, my God. Are you absolutely insane? That's the craziest. I don't even want to talk to you. You must, you know, like I was from a different planet. Okay, so we get all reactions. Again, I'm bleeding off the mouth again. Here's the episode of my crazy-ass birthday ultra marathon. Good morning, Running from Diabetes. This is Kevin, and I am trying something very difficult today. This is the start of my crazy-ass birthday ultra. It's 6:30 in the morning. One of the cool things about an ultra is that at the start, you don't run. Well, most people don't run. The inexperienced and the real studs, the guys that can actually run the majority of, you know, do the 100-mile races in, you know, 18 hours, some ridiculous time. So I'm starting off. I am half a mile into this. I decided to take the first 15 minutes or so and just walk into it at a, well, not leisurely pace, but I'm going to have to say it's great race conditions. Southern California, we got names for this type of weather. We call it May Gray or June Gloom, depending on which month we're in. And today's the 31st of May, so it can probably be almost either. It's very overcast this morning. That allows for typically a higher than normal temperature, because it sort of holds the ground heat in. We're looking at like 62 right now, which typically in Southern California in the mornings we'll get you know, low 50s to mid 50s early in the morning, and then we build our temperature from there. We should probably, you know, normally this would burn off by 8:30, 9 o'clock, maybe even 10, and sun would start warming everything up, but we had some really odd weather, and this overcast is supposed to last throughout the day. Yesterday, in parts, it actually rained, you know. I talk about this weather like this is amazing. I know the rest of the country sees stuff like this all the time, but we don't, other than this marine layer. See if I get some, Morning.
Hi, how you doing?
Wonderful.
Good.
So, this is supposed to actually last for the rest of the day, so if you're heading to the beach, I'm sorry. It's going to be a little windy and chilly. Not exactly beach-going weather, but for us running the race, I guess the Rock and Roll Marathon down in San Diego is going off today. Knowing that they typically start off, have a start time at around 7. So I haven't started yet, but that means their whole race should be just wonderfully cool. Along the coast, we're supposed to get a high of like 66. So I'm really excited that I'm running this 43 miles and using the old runner's adage to add 20 degrees to whatever the current weather is. I'm going to see an 86 high feeling temperature, but you know, 66 out there without the sun blaring down and a nice cool breeze coming off the ocean the whole time. Can't complain. Great race weather. I promise not to record this whole 10 hours of running. I'm just going to check in and then put it together with some type of race report. My insulin pump is all dialed in. I've eaten what I need. I actually didn't sleep much last night, but my blood sugars this morning, 144. Those of you in the know that I'm trying. That's a little high, but it's not out of line. Easy to recorrect for that. I had two double shot cappuccinos I made for myself, so sort of juiced up and did my morning breakfast ritual, which is, you know, the old rule, never do anything new on race day. So I'm very used to a Cliff Bar, a banana, and a couple glasses of water. So we'll start off that way. The family's still in bed. Our first appointment time to catch up together is going to be mile 10. So it should be, you know, I would say that like most races, I tend to go out a little fast, but this one, obviously, I'm walking for a while. And I plan several walk breaks. I'm actually going to use a standard Galloway method. I'm going to run 3, walk 2. I'm also going to use a standard ultra marathon method, which I'm going to walk the hills. I have a few going into Laguna Beach. And we'll see how I feel as I do those. But we all know that what you do in the beginning and how you feel in the beginning plays a major part in the end. So if you overexert yourself because you feel good at the beginning, you tend to toast at the end. Okay. We're 16 minutes into this, and I guess it's time to start running. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm hitting mile 6. It's really humid today. Go figure. Okay, I just got off the bike trail though, and I'm on Pacific Coast Highway. I'm on a section of it that is in Newport Beach, and it's probably one of the busier parts of this highway. So all you're gonna hear is traffic. The ocean looked bitten, by the way. Was just beautiful. Surf wasn't so big that
I was jonesing to go out, but the water was glassy. By the look of the wetsuits, I have to say water temps are probably in the low 60s, which sounds cold if you're not in a wetsuit, but if you're surfing, you don't overcook, or it's not so cold that you go numb and your feet and hands that aren't covered by the wetsuit. You know, I've been surfing up in Northern California, and it's so cold that every time you duck your head under a wave, you get an ice cream headache, you know, a cold headache. Bunch of traffic, they come in spurts. Okay, a little bit about what I'm doing today as a diabetic. Keep myself safe. I'm running with a fanny pack. It's actually a Camelback with about 45 ounces of water, and I've mixed in I use a custom sports drink called Infinite. Not any more expensive than the normal sports drinks. It's actually cheaper than, say, doing Gatorade, because you can make it heavier in sugar or lighter in sugar, heavier in salt. But you change it for whatever race and whatever your condition is. I run a little heavy on the carb side. You can do complex carbs and simple carbs too, and balance that. Really cool. But I run a little heavy, and then depending on my sport, I may dilute it down, or I may run it at a higher concentrate. Higher concentrate sometimes, like when I'm cycling, I will fill one bottle with several scoops, and you know, you can have, I'll have like 1500 calories in one bottle, and then I just sip at that to keep my nutrition, and then I use my other two bottles for hydration. A simple way to keep everything exactly where you need it. One of the cool parts about a sports drink, because you're constantly drinking it throughout the run, every 5 to 10 minutes, taking pretty decent sips, it's a constant bleed of sugar into your system. So you don't have to bolus for every little calorie you're taking in. You just set your basal rate for that. Makes life a little easier. You know, these longer runs, like this one's, you know, 43 miles, I'm going to have to take in more than just sports drink. And we'll talk about that later on, but wanted to still stay off the premise of what I'm carrying now. In my fanny pack, I do have a blood glucose meter. I have one of the little one-touch minis with, you know, maybe 15, 20 test strips and a Lancet device. I'm actually supported by my wife on this run. She's going to try to meet me at mile 10, and then maybe every 5 miles thereafter. We'll see how I feel. And we'll test my blood sugar there. And because the distance is so far, we've actually weighed myself at the beginning of this thing. And then we'll weigh myself every 10 miles to make sure I'm not overhydrating or underhydrating. And yes, you can overhydrate too. It's called hyponatremia. Now, I have a real flavor for salt, so I do a lot of salty drinks. There's a good amount of salt in my sports drink, and I use Clamato, if you can believe that, tomato juice, the clam tomato juice Clamato. And it's super salty. It just tastes really good. It's not a ultra runner secret is actually chicken broth, a lot of sodium in that, potato wedges, partially cooked and dipped in salt. So I don't worry too much about it. I'm going to worry more about dehydration, and by measuring your weight and knowing what your start rate is, you can know if you're losing water too fast. I also have two Clif bars, just in case I need extra sugar. Also, when you run, most people, their stomachs shut down. And one of the things you have to teach yourself to do is eat on the run if you're going to run more than, say, 2 or 3 hours, marathon and above. So the problem with that is now my body knows it's hungry and it's asking for it, so my stomach gets a little upset, and a bite of a Cliff Bar will settle that really easy. You just have to remember that if you're doing any type of nutrition other than outside the sports drink, or in my position, that I have to bolus for that, or that sugar will never get in my system. I do have to admit, though, while running, your insulin sensitivity goes through the roof. It's awesome. I'm also carrying a credit card, driver's license, and my MedAlert bracelet. So, obviously, for emergency reasons. And if I need something and nobody's around, I can roll into a fast food place and grab a Coke or 7-Eleven, grab something. And then the ultimate, that I can't believe that anybody in this day and age wouldn't go out with a cell phone. Even a 3-miler. The smaller ones are so light and easy to put someplace. If you have diabetes, there's nothing like having an emergency system at your beck and call. And if you have one of the smartphones, there's a million things you can do. Hell, I'm on this run, I'm Twittering my progress to all my tweeps out there. I'm recording my podcast to all you people out there. I've also called in to a few other podcasts that I'm friends with Kelowna Girl, and when Kelowna Girl Tries, and Kevin over at the Extra Mile Podcast, and I may happen to call in to Jason and Sean over at Trilogy Running, and I don't know if anybody else, I don't know if Gordon over at Run to Disney has a phone in line, and I think Quadrathon just put himself a phone line, but I don't have that number handy. Again, the smartphone, I'll go online and see if he's got it posted on his blog or his website. I can listen to music and other podcasts. That's what I'm planning on doing this whole run. And because it's tied in with my headset and the mic, I get phone calls. My kids who are with my wife, and they're all supporting me, so the term self-supported is not true. I'm actually supported by my Ultra Sherpas. And I'll tell you what, you can't do something like this without the support of your family, period. You take so much time away from them doing something like this, and you need their assistance in, you know, dropping you off at the race or supporting your race or just being there. You know, one of the best things to do is to sign along the race course from your family, you know, go get them. We love you, Dad. Anything like that, man. I can run a whole race based on that one sign. Well, I've yacked long enough. I'll catch you guys in the next 5 or 10 miles. Okay. We just hit the support crew. That's my wife and two of my kids, two girls. And this shot was with also the dog, my running partner, Honey. She was a little upset that she didn't get to take off with me. Man, it felt like NASCAR. It was really cool. Just if you had pulled over the side of the road, and we have an SUV, and they just popped the back up, and coolers with they had a new Camelback bladder, and my wife just opened my old one out and old one up and opened my camel back up and pulled the old bladder out and popped the full one in. And we'll just do these, I guess the computer geeks will call them hot swaps. Well, the kids grab my cell phone. I have an iPhone, so those of you with iPhones know one of the inherent problems is really crappy battery life, especially when you use the hell out of the phone like I'm using. I'm recording, I'm listening to podcasts, I'm making phone calls, I'm taking pictures, Twittering, updating my Facebook. Where am I finding time to run? So we've created a plan to we have a charging basis for our cell phones in each car. How you doing? And I just grab that and plug that in. And then we're same with the, I have a Garmin and charged it. It's supposed to last 14 hours, but it's not lasting 14 hours. It'll probably last a good 8. But I brought a charging charger and just by a charger, I'll be able to charge it on the fly. So far, so good. I'm at mile 11. The pace is really decent. I'm doing everything I can to keep it under control. I can run a heck of a lot faster, but you know, running too fast at the beginning makes for ugly at the end. So I'm doing, like I said, lots of walk breaks and walking up hills. I want to give a shout out to the people on Twitter. I'll give a shout out to my friends and crew here, but let's first start with a shout out to just the people that follow me on Twitter. I have gotten, you know, goodwills and mojo sent my way for the last couple days. A few people are really sending stuff out a lot. I mean, just makes you feel fantastic. This is an interesting sport. You can call it running or endurance sports or triathlon or whatnot. And although there's a lot of participants, I don't have any close friends that are participants. I have a few people. An old friend of mine decided he'd take up running, and he's run a few things with me. He's going to meet me at the end and run probably the last 10 to 12 miles in, keep my spirits up. And his wife was my original running partner, and she would have taken on more of a challenge, but she's pregnant and ready to pop. No running, no capes. Also my brother-in-law is an Ironman, and he's he does marathons like 2 hours faster than I do. You know, he's looking to qualify for Boston. I'm an hour and a half to 2 hours away from my time for qualifying for Boston. So that tells you how slow of a runner I am. I don't mind being in the back of the pack. That's just for an old fat guy, just to finish his dynamite. And every one I do, I get a little bit faster. Only a couple minutes. But again, I wanted to shout out to Twitter. There's Runner03 and Ollie the Runner and YouTube. Boy, I sure appreciate that. All in, you're all in, and just finish. And a whole group of you guys. And I will, next time I update, I'll poke my nose at the Twitter again, and I will remember everybody and try to give you all shout outs. You guys probably do know what it means, but you probably don't get told, and I wanted to make sure I tell you that, you know, just getting those keep goings or looking strong, same things I get in a marathon. Sure, makes for a fun run and makes you feel good about yourself. Okay, now the shout out to the most important person, my wife, my kids. Now I'm entering a pretty dense area, so I'm going to have to quiet down a little bit. Morning.
Morning.
Okay. Most important person, my wife and my kids. Not all my kids could make it. Two of my kids, their mother came out from Florida, and so she picked them up this morning because they haven't seen her in, 4 or 5 months. And can't begrudge them that. Although they'll be sending me texts and making phone calls to cheer me on. My other son is in Iraq, serving, as you guys know, the Navy Corps with the Marine Corps. And his time zone is all messed up compared to mine, but he did leave a few comments on Facebook encouraging me along. Now, my wife, this is not possible without the support of your family, as we said. And my wife is a massive supporter of this crazy lifestyle I've chosen. I'm a recovering couch potato, a diabetic, former cancer survivor, and most all of that is due in part to lifestyle, some genetics. And so, you know, you get hit with all that and you decide you gotta change your life. And of course I went to the dark side and went from just being a runner or just a cyclist to a full endurance athlete that runs triathlons, will be an Ironman soon, then a half, but not a full ultra runner. With this crazy 43-mile run today. You can't do stuff like that without the support of your family, and she's been there the whole way. She accepts me getting up, helps to keep my goals realistic as well as my goals forward. You know, when you don't believe you can do something, it's nice to hear from the person you trust the most that you can do it. And that would be my wife. And have that as your support crew. She drove around the truck for all day today with trail mix and water and sports drink and all the other crazy stuff. And stopping and catching me approximately every 5 miles after, we're figuring after mile 20. She got me a mile 10, maybe mile 5 or maybe 15. And 15 through 20, somewhere around there. And she will, you know, took the time to learn what she needed to do, which I didn't even know. So it was like making this up as we go along, because I've run races with live support, you know, real support, but I've never run a self-supported system like this. So she's just jumping right in, you know, willing to take, oh shoot, I didn't test my blood at my, well, I've got one with me. In my next walk break, I'll test my blood, but she'll, she's going to be there for the whole thing. I think she gets a lot out of it. But it's even more important that she's on crutches. My wife banged up her, real serious sprain in her knee, and she's been on crutches for, I don't know, almost 10 weeks now. I'm just now barely getting to the point where she's starting to become mobile on that leg and can hobble around a little bit with one crutch. But can you imagine trying to service me on crutches, deal with the kids and all that? And my kids, boy, they're troopers too. You know, a teenager wants to drive around all day in a car because their old man is decided his midlife crisis he's going to run his age, and run more miles than most people would ever consider, even marathoners. And make sure that this sweaty old fart has a cheering section and a morning cheering section and a aid suppliers, you know, being able to handle stuff and deal with it. I have a feeling that towards the end of this, I'm not going to be my normal pleasant self. And if they're willing to put up with that, they are stars in my book. I will catch you guys in that 5 or 10 miles. Hello, running from diabetes. Well, it's Kevin. As you can tell, I'm in a little bit of pain today. Actually don't know exactly the mileage I'm at now. My Garmin is just so overcast. My Garmin stopped picking up the signal. It probably lost itself for about... When you get this high up in mileage, you lose track. I mean, you could be running for what seems like hours and look down and realize that you've only been running for 5 minutes. So I'm having a hard time telling. My wife, who pulled off at the Ruby's, had lunch with the kids while I run out here, said that she was at like mile 21, mile 22, and I passed that a little while ago. So, gives you an idea where I stand. It shouldn't be the mileage, but these hills. Somehow I decided I was going to run this thing through Laguna Beach. Laguna Beach is literally built on cliffs and hills, and it's just climb up, drop back down, climb up, drop back down. And any runner will tell you that running downhill, although it doesn't feel like it when it happens, is harder than running uphill. Uphill is actually a conditioning thing. Running downhill is a jarring that tends to hurt your quads. So, let's see. How are you doing? So we'll assume we're at mile 22 and we'll just keep going. I got a nice little downhill now. I'm into it a little bit. I'm getting the weird looks again. People looking at me, hey, what's he talking about? You would think this age of cell phones and Bluetooth technology that they would be everybody would just get it if they're on the phone. Okay, so thought I would talk about food, what I'm using to keep myself rolling. We talked about what was in my pack. I thought I would go to an easy subject, food, and let you guys kind of wonder about that. I've got some weird rituals for real long runs. I can do a marathon on sports drink alone. I tend to bring Cliff Bars, as I've said in the past, and maybe take a bite or two as needed. At mile 18, when I did my last check-in with my wife, blood sugar was 122, and I've been doing pretty well because I had actually taken a handful of trail mix right before I had taken the blood sugar. So not an accurate read, but accurate enough. So that's the first one. I just love M&M's, honey roasted peanuts, and if you want, you can stop there, or sometimes I'll add raisins. Your basic trail mix, but buy a
phone.
No, I can't give you my phone. I'm going to interview you.
We're going to charge it up for you.
I just put a break in there, so I'll edit.
Okay.
So I'm at a next stop. I have no idea what mileage I'm at because my watch has stopped. It's only telling me like 19 miles. I should be more like 23 or 24. My wife has pulled into beach parking here, and we're just going to service my needs. She's going to fill up the...
Last time, honey, I talked to you, that last stop over there was 18 miles. You've gone 3.2 cents, so now you're at 21.2.
Okay, 21.2.
Woohoo!
Oh. Okay. And as I was saying, those hills are annihilators, man. Poof! I got a call from my brother. He's wishing me, you know, joy. Oh, excuse me while I...
Can't do this.
Open my...
Here, I got it. I'll do it.
There
you got it. Bladder.
So.
Tony, come on out.
So the kids are here. What we're doing is getting text messages from my son. Can't be
traditional family text.
Yeah, traditional family text, as we say. This is my wife, Jessa.
Hello.
Hello. My ultra Sherpas are here. I have Tony and Alexis. Alexis is in the back seat making signs for Tony. Tony's running for ASB. I'm talking to myself. Say hi, Tony.
Hi.
Okay.
Okay, that's good. Just a splash more.
Let's see if we can get this.
Fill that up.
Watch
this. Let's get 2 scoops of the sports drink powder here.
So I'm trying to charge my watch.
Okay.
We're going to have to charge the phone.
Yep, hand over your phone.
So we're going to shut down.
Bye. Bye.
Okay. We're at mile 29. You'll have to excuse the wind. I'm at Doheny Beach. I'm literally running along the parking lot. My family, who is my Sherpas, have rented a Surrey. I have to find them, or they're going to find me. But they're down here along the beach, and they're going to catch up with me and ride alongside. I was talking about food that I've been using. And then I got distracted by a pit stop and the family. Just so you guys know, there's a big shout out. I am the absolute most lucky person. We've had we live in Southern California. We've got all the things going for us. And I lost my job a couple months ago. The company closed the whole nationwide operation. And my wife is a successful banker, which I had told you, and she doesn't hold that against me. I'm looking, but she's not holding anything against me. She is out here supporting the crazy ass Ultra. The kids showed me she made a t-shirt, and I'll have to post it. It says crazy ass Ultra, 43 miles, 2009, something like that. It is awesome. That is going to be, I think I'll frame that and I'll wear it. We've got lots of race shirts, but this one, have your family support you like that. Okay, enough of the sentimental stuff. Let's get to race food. Trail mix is the best one so far. Okay, recording still. So trail mix has been a big winner. M&M's, raisins, and make sure you get something you like on the nuts. But the nuts are important. They have carbohydrates and protein. That's what I'm working with. I actually like the honey roasted peanuts. But, you know, hell. Anything you have, you know, if you like cashews, if you like whatnot. You get passed by these runners and they look just like stars. I mean, they're just flying fast. I'm on mile 30 here, and of course I'm just barely running when I'm running, and then doing a lot of walking here. The watermelon's been a real treat. My wife picked that idea up. I'm a fanatic when it comes to tomatoes. I love tomatoes. If you got some of those, I haven't found those. You know, it's almost like you have to have a smorgasbord of treats laid out, because you never know what your palate's going to be like. And so, the tomatoes, although I'd eat them like apples, a little bit of salt on them, yeah, baby. But they just haven't hit my palate. Of course, the tomato juice is my clamato. And then I've had to get my, we brought a scale, and you start with your weight, and I just measured, and I'm down 7 pounds, which means I'm dehydrating. So we've increased the water consumption, especially at the rest stops. So we're just working with straight water, as well as a couple cups of a warm broth. It's actually chilly out. 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Southern California, spring / almost summer, and it should be warm, but we've had this cloud cover, which is great for race weather, but I'm soaking wet. Every time I stop, I get chilled. So I sucked down some warmed up broth. That was pretty cool. What else? We have, I don't know where that's at. Where the Siri is. It picked up that Siri. I'm just moving along and they're way behind me. Now, let's just go with whatever's going to suit your palate. Just remember to train with it. What I've been doing is training with just everything I could think of. And then making sure that my stomach deals with the food. Another one. Here's a good one. This one tends to keep the palate going. Just love it. Beef jerky, man. You don't suck a whole bag down, but piece and just kind of suck on it. Salty, tastes good. A little bit of protein, no fat. Doesn't seem to bother the stomach, but it makes you thirsty, which is a good thing. A little update on where I'm at right now. My legs are toast. They are pissed at me. Mile 26, we did a full load, full board pit stop with my wife. Maybe removed the shoes, and she swapped out socks, checked over my feet with a blister. You know, I'm not feeling any blisters, but pulled the socks off and found out I got blisters. So what we did is just move them up to they didn't need to be popped. They weren't bothering me. And if they're not bothering you, don't. My knees are bad. My calves are doing okay. Shins are okay. That's usually where I feel it. Right now it's in my hips, my knees, my quads. And they're just, you know, I think of going out playing a really decent basketball or football game, and the next day how sore, you know, where you can barely move. So I'm kind of walking funny. I've been walking this whole time trying to find this Siri, and I have no idea where they disappeared to. My head has been going in and out of highs and lows. Had a bunch of hills running through Laguna Beach. And those hills will sap your energy. And they just took all the motivation out of me. Got through them, and I'm down in Doheny right now. It's a pretty flat surface called the Strand right here. Surfers call this Poochie Beach. If you guys don't know that surfers have a nickname for every break. Now, we don't call every beach something special, but we don't name our breaks with regular names. It keeps people away, you know, and not everybody that can buy a surfboard heads down to find Poochie or, you know, Old Man's or Potbelly Beach or Tin Can Alley or Stingray Bay or some of the other names. There's River Jetties, Taco Reef, there's a Taco Bell right there. Everybody knows it. Taco Bell at 9th Street. It's called Taco Reef. Here, that's an easy one, but you know, it's always crowded. Everybody knows where that is. Cliffs. There's some of them down here. T Street. Boneyard. Boneyard is Doheny. That's an old Beach Boys song, Doheny Way. And the Boneyard, they've cut up some cinder blocks in the water here. Creates a decent break, but hey, if you hit your board, Boneyard. Not accounting that'll flip you off and throw you onto those. We've got Sano, the Point. We've got Middle-House Trails, Black Beach. There's a good one. It's actually a pretty decent break, but it's a new beach, so most surfers tend to not do a lot of surfing. Okay, I'm getting way off the subject here. Just having fun. You can tell my mental faculties have decreased and decreased until I'm literally, you know, blubbering idiot. No Surrey yet. Guys, take care. Hopefully the wind noise isn't too disruptive. Hey, running from diabetes. This is Kevin again. We're in the final stretch. I have my longtime absolute best friend with me. Woo-hoo! The only guy that decided he wanted to come down and run. And this crazy ass. He does usually follows my lead into these crazy junctions, and we both get trouble together.
Yeah.
Brian and I have been friends since
1980.
Yeah.
1980.
Back in high school. Yeah. Okay, so that dates us. We are literally at mile 37, down in, as surfers we call it, Trestles. It's a little sneaky place that some of the best surfing in the world, here in Southern California. Not recognized by anybody but surfers, but definitely us surfers. Brian hit me on a real low, so I wanted to talk about that. Going out this distance, my blood sugars were high, and I was pushing hard, and I was eating right, but you know, if you don't have the insulin to take the sugar into the muscles, I was dropping motivation like crazy. Runners call it the wall. And so Brian just kind of held my hand, basically, and we walked for a while until we got to the next pit stop, our NASCAR crew. And they changed, washed my windows, changed my tires, and gassed me up. And then we checked the blood sugar. It was a little high. We pumped more insulin and ate some more and pumped some more insulin for that. And Brian is here to tell you that at mile 30, I sucked. And at mile 37, I'm actually back to running. We got about 20 seconds before we start running again. We're taking these walk breaks. So what do you think about being on the radio now, or on the internet? Brian's a computer engineer. He was a professional hacker for the government. We don't actually spread that news because they aren't supposed to exist. But Brian had a real problem with. He loves computers, but he sure had a problem with the government, as we all do. He worked for it and was not very happy with their morals. So unfortunately, Brian moved out to California here on an assignment and left his real high-paying government job. Actually, he had a pretty good-paying government job and went into the private field and found out that the private sector is morals aren't any better.
I tell you, man.
So, Brian's along for the ride. What is your job here, Brian?
My job is your moral support. I'm going to make you my foot puppet if you don't keep running.
How are you actually giving me moral support these days?
Telling you bad, dirty jokes.
It actually worked.
Pointing at the absurdity of certain things all along the trail.
Well, we got to...
Oh, and we're going.
We've got the pit crew waiting up ahead about a half a mile.
So we're doing a hard sand down, soft sand back, right?
Yes. Brian and I have been met in high school. We've been surf buddies, computer buddies.
Drinking buddies.
Drinking buddies. Oh, getting in trouble buddies. Oh, boy. More times than we care to admit, and unfortunately, worse than we care to admit. But we've done everything stupid on the planet. If I haven't done it, he has, and we learn from it.
Including long runs.
Taking on the ultra.
I think it's my turn next year, isn't it?
Yes. My goal for actually podcasting this part of the episode is to talk real quickly about type 3 diabetics. Most of you know if you're a type 1 or a type 2, or like me, a type 1 and a half. Most of you have never heard of the term type 3. Brian is a type 3. Brian, is anybody associated with you that helps you deal with your disease one way or another? Family members, friends, your medical team, your pharmacist, whatever. And the better ones are the ones that make sure you take the medicines that the doctors don't prescribe, which is the exercise and the eat right. Brian's not real good at having me eat right. Brian has a pretty tout metabolism. He goes surfing on a weekend and drops 10 pounds of fat. Not muscle, fat. This
one
of his will literally, he'll drop 5 pounds of not water. So when we go out to dinner, well, we had dinner at my house last night. I think I had one serving. We did Mexican food. Brian's like two or three. Yeah, three. But he is out there. Brian hates to run. Let's put it that way. Got to walk. But he is here. He's running probably 14 miles. Dragging my sorry butt all the way through to make sure that I not only get the physical benefit, but also the mental benefit. Brian's wife is also one of my type 3 diabetics. But if you guys haven't run into that, make sure you surround yourself with people like myself, the good type 3s. They will not take you out drinking and force you to drink more like we used to do in high school. They're the ones that make sure that you can get home in one piece.
Carry your ass inside the door.
Yeah, they're the ones that you've taught to utilize the instruments of diabetes. With a good set of type 3s, you can do 43 miles on your birthday, if your birthday's 43rd, or whatever else you choose. My gosh, I call it to the dark side, Brian and I. Anything over 5 miles is considered the dark side. And Darth Vader has nothing on us. We're going to leave it at that. Looks like we're approaching our pit stop.
Okay, so the race is over. Keep calling it a race because I don't have another name for it. But it was just a self-imposed torture test. Being a ex-police officer and an ex-soldier, I must be kind of into something like that because I tend to do things like that. It's a few days afterwards, and I just wanted to give you kind of an update. I did end up finishing. We pulled in at mile 40 for our last kind of check-in. My body was having trouble regulating, and it was starting to, some had gone down, and it was starting to get really dark, and so I turned around, you know, put a long sleeve shirt on, and got a little bit more fuel just to finish me off. But I, you know, my motivation was real low. My legs had decided to stop operating correctly, is the best word to say. It wasn't a matter of forcing myself through the pain. It was that the pain had kind of left itself, and the legs just wouldn't operate. It was kind of the weirdest feeling. And I know it was straight out just muscles giving out. They were done. They were nothing left in them. Coming in, so the last 3 miles were more of a stumble fest, and then the last mile was sort of a just leaning forward and catching myself from falling, sort of a zombie walk, I guess. I was quoting movie quotes just to keep my head going forward. You know, I was reciting Pulp Fiction and Mel Brooks movies and anything. And of course, my pacer was saying his own stuff. You know, Brian's has done some distance running, has run several half marathons, but never anything more than that. So the fact that he chose to jump into a half, you know, an ultra as a pacer at the end was smart, because it would have been, it was a slow process, but it was tough on him too, because he's not used to going more than 13 miles and hadn't trained up for this, and so it was pushing his buttons too. I had turned not mean, but short with everything all the way up until it was really, it had just gotten real dark, and my wife had the truck turned around and had turned the lights on the last 25 or 50 yards, and the kids got out and they had all made signs, you know, you did great, you're my hero, that type of signs, which I could see from there, because they were standing in front of the headlights of the truck, so the signs were out. We carry noisemakers in our truck. Being an endurance athlete, one of the things I truly believe is, if you want to call it pay it forward, or giving karma to get karma, or I fully believe that you must pay your dues both as the runner, but you also must pay back others who have been out there helping you. And you know, the best way to do that is to volunteer at races and to cheer people on. So any race that's within distance, you know, a reasonable distance of driving, we go down for a while and cheer them on. My kids, you know, think I'm forcing them into some type of torture fest, but they bring the dog down and they bring their phones and they just end up texting their friends for a while. But you know, I'll sit on the side of the road at a half marathon and clap for 4 hours. But we have noisemakers. We have the cowbells. We have several cowbells. We have clappers. We have the megaphone type things that we can yell out. So they had the noisemakers out. And then as I came and approached the car, my wife had made had taken a red, white, and blue ribbon and put two gold nuts, large nuts, probably 3/4 inch wide nuts, big ass nuts, onto this thing, and that was my finisher's medal. When she wrapped it around my neck, she says, "This is so you could prove to others that you really are nuts." And I started crying. I have never cried at a marathon finish before. I've had, you know, you get that emotional feeling in your chest when you either cross over or when you know you're going to cross over and things are going real well and having a good one, but I've never actually had the tears well up, and my, you know, I just literally you know, might as well have been a chick flick because I was just, you know, blubbering like an idiot. I'm not embarrassed about that, but it was just kind of odd because it's not something I've done in the past. The finish was way better than any marathon I've ever run. My first marathon was important, you know, each one seems to be a little PR, but this was a personal feat that, you know, pushed my limits as well as brought me so much closer to my wife and kids and people around. And when I mention people around me, I'm meaning Brian, my pacer, my brother who called me throughout the race. He was dog sitting and he was for us, and he was doing other things. His wife has breast cancer, so Patty's not really in a able to move state. You know, she's pretty sick still. So you know, he couldn't get out there and cheer, but he would have. And the Twitter and Facebook crowd, my tweets end up going to Facebook, and so I had a few shout-outs from Facebook, but I had multiple shout-outs from Twitter, and I've said this on the throughout the race that I was real appreciative. I can't tell you, you know, you all can guess on how important it is that my wife was out there doing what she did, but Twittering is... By the way, it's dangerous to run and Twitter at the same time. I almost tripped off curbs and stuff, so I ended up having to really stop and do updates. So they became less frequent and less frequent, and my mind wasn't thinking straight, so I was having a harder time typing, and everything was coming out gibberish. So I apologize to the Twitter crowd out there that my tweets got farther and farther. And there were a few people that I even called and made voicemails to. Kelowna Girl... You know, I was just having a ball calling your voicemail line. I have never called your voicemail line. You know, it's new, so I haven't called it in the past and said anything, and so I was kind of giving you race updates, and that was really cool. I was having, you know, anything to keep my mind going, and, you know, you being a beginner triathlete, you obviously know what it's like to go from absolutely no endurance experience to being an endurance athlete, and how having people to talk to or things to take your mind off what you're doing. I'm sorry, that's my dog. She just keeps yawning. She's sitting in the back of the truck here. So I've Kelowna Girl, I apologize for messing up your voicemail, but I was having a great time calling in. So to let you guys know, the experiment did work. Twittering, Facebooking, phone calling, voicemail, text messaging, all fantastic things for keeping you going during an endurance event, but definitely not something if you're in a physical race going for time. There is no way to keep yourself going fast. So the whole mental game of being inside yourself is going to have to stay that internal mental game when you're in a race for time. Okay, I wanted to get a few thank yous out that I've tried while I was running, and you know, things just don't come out. It's hard to think and talk and run and walk, and especially at mile 40. So wanted to make sure that a few people got some recognition just for helping me along. It was really cool having the Twitter fans, and I'm saying it over and over and over again. A couple people were there pretty much, well, I think they were there the whole time from when I logged in at like 4:30 in the morning at my house and said, hey, I'm off and running, to, you know, I'm off getting ready, and now I'm off and running, until when I literally fell into the car and gave my last tweet, I'm done, I made it, I'm alive, type thing. And Ali the Runner on Twitter, thank you very much. I have sent her specific thank yous through Twitter, and she just needs to know what a terrific companion she was during that run, way up there. And so was runner 03 RJ, who lives here in Orange County. I've been talking with him, and we've run several races. It's funny, together, but we've never met, you know, the Orange County. He did the Orange County Half Marathon and the Los Angeles Marathon. And we'll meet soon, because we're being in the same county. We can't go this long and not actually meet, but sure appreciated your friendship out there. A few other people, Kevin Green, would just finish. Only a few comments from him, but you know, I belong to his website, and the whole slogan of his website sure is the whole epitome of this event. I have stickers on my cars, decals on my cars that came from him that just say run, walk, crawl, just finish. And that was just the final mantra in my head that kept going and going and going. You know, I thought it. You know, all the different things that went through my head. Kevin Green and his website, of all the people who have competed in any type of event, the rule is, you know, just finish. Sometimes there is no time. Sometimes you're just timing against yourself. Because obviously none of us are elites that can run with the people that make a living at this. At least I don't know anybody personally that can be at that level. And so Kevin, that was, you know, just finish. That's a real important. Sheila M. King and, you know, Kimba 90. It was kind of cool because I know she's an ultra athlete. She does a lot of those seriously long races. And to get an attaboy from her, you know, it's funny, you know, people run 3 miles, 43 looks like a big number. To her, 43 is just a race. And so it's pretty cool. B. Kozer, Vince out there, he was along for the ride the whole time. I sure appreciate that. Aaron 337, Aaron the triathlete up in Canada. Love her podcast. She's new at it, and she's doing a great job. 262 runner, that's Cindy out there. Thank you very much for the shout outs. Kelowna Girl, I talked about Kelowna Girl during the run. Kelowna Girl is the Twitter queen. You know, if you get on Twitter and follow her, this is pretty much the time that you can't get. I don't think she sleeps. She goes to work, she works out, and she Twitters. But she's out there and a great podcast herself, and I really, really enjoy that. Turtles Can Run. RUN. RUN was pretty cool. He was another one that was in there throughout the whole thing. I think at the end, he's either on the East Coast or the Midwest, and I think the time difference had finally gotten him, and he wasn't able to last the last 3 miles. It's okay, man. I appreciate being there the whole time, you know. My wife, just by the way, your picture of the shoes, she thinks that's just awesome. Cluzy, boy, thank you very much. Jewelry, I think I say that, J-U-L-I-E-R-J-E, Jewelry, Jeweler, you were out there, thank you. I have just mangled your name completely, and I apologize. Run, Kerry, run. Thank you, Kerry. That was great. Paul out in the Inland Empire, PDM, DBM. You can actually check out Paul's wife's blog. She's got a fit lady or fit mom, I think it is. Fitness mom or fit mom. He's a cyclist. I think he's a veterinarian, just by his posts. Pretty smart guy out there. You know, I adopted a dog, and he's thrown some advice my way, and I really appreciate that. Love listening to him because he's so into the cycling, and I love the cycling too, especially when the Tour of California, he was out there, and he was twittering away what he was seeing while he was out there. Now I was watching it on TV a little later, but, you know, I was able to kind of coordinate. It was kind of cool, but I appreciate that. And ColumbusNet, I thought you were down in Georgia, but, you know, I checked in. You're out in Montana. I think this gentleman is a fellow ranger. You know, words of encouragement from a fellow ranger, always appreciated. Guys out there on Facebook, Chris Russell had commented a few times, and Chris has got the Run, Run, Live podcast. And, you know, I really respect this man's information on or advice from running. He seems to be one of the the few real experts in the field. I don't think he calls himself one, but us, rest of us runners, you know, when we listen to Chris, you know, he's like EF Hutt and we listen. But thank you for the shout out, Chris, on Facebook, and Kevin. Kevin with the Extra Mile podcast, I appreciate it. Kevin and I have traded emails and sent a lot of submissions over his way, and I tried to start throwing some voicemails on his call-in line for his podcast, but I guess the phone line, the voicemail system got overloaded or too many voicemails, which is a good thing, Kevin. That means you're getting a lot of submissions. But again, so I wasn't able to throw those out on your voicemail, but again, thank you for the shout outs while I was on this thing. And Tim Wilson, man, Tim, I sure appreciate it. Tim is just one of my runner friends on Facebook, and always sends something really, you know, it's always got something nice to say when I'm out there doing stupid stuff. Again, guys, thank you very much. Twitter, thank you very much. It was really awesome. Great. Hopefully you guys enjoy this episode as much as I enjoyed running it. And I plan on doing something as silly as this next year. Maybe I'll put together a full self-supported Ironman, you know, or maybe we'll make it kind of strange because I'll be turning 44, so we'll make it like a certain amount of a swim and a certain amount of a bike and a certain amount of a run, all based on that 44. I don't know. Something crazy, something to inspire others to go out and just make an active life of it, and that with diabetes, that all things are possible. You guys take care.